I agree.
From a 3D perspective, but is it just part of the process? And once that,
what do you mean, lady?
Yeah. Let's talk about that. So I had to tape a quarter on because this has not been written about. What we're talking about is experiencing fifth dimensional self and 3D self and awareness of both. So what her sense is bleeding through. It's a term. It actually comes from you know, perhaps medical profession, but printers use it as well when they say, you know, let the picture bleed. And what they are saying is that they're going to trim it to one size, but the print, the ink is going to bleed over those edges, and then they're going to cut so they have a clean picture. The bleeding through, in this case, I'm going to invite you to define, but I'll add to it. So go ahead.
So being keenly aware that there is a higher expression, a higher energy on a three-dimensional level. Most of the time, we're more in tune with this lower vibration, this fleshlier expression of who we are. But as this shifting is occurring, there are those of us who are more and more and more aware of the fifth dimensional presence, the fifth dimensional self, the resurrection experience occurring within the physical expression. And so the disconcerting part of it is you can find yourself really fully connected on a physical level and then have an experience like a deja vu experience, or I've already done this, or I've already been here, or I've experienced this on a completely different level in a different expression. So that's the bleeding through, where it's not, you're not clearly connected to either this lower vibration or the higher one. There's kind of that merging, that meshing.
Right, and I'll give you another example of it. Driving down the road in, let's say, New York, and turning onto a street and having a polar bear in the middle of the street. Now, you know there's no way there's going to be a polar bear in the middle of Manhattan, but you can clearly see it. It's as real as you are. That's the bleeding through, okay? Now, what we're learning to do is step away from linear, which is everything is done sequentially, to maintaining awareness of both. So the disconcerting part is the mind wanting it to be ordered like we are familiar with linear, and the consciousness that is already capable of managing both. So it's presenting both at the same time. However, the ability to perceptualize it, to contemplate it, to think about it, disrupts the traditional linear thinking.
You think you're losing your mind,
right,
in the moment.
So your linear thinking says, this doesn't compute, reject, 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 which is why it's disconcerting. So, and we'll back it up even another step and say, when someone starts getting messages from a deceased loved one, or they can feel their presence in the room, and the number of you have had these experiences, at some point, in the beginning of this, it might have been scary. Oh my God, what's going on? You know, why am I feeling this energy? And then with familiarity, it becomes easier and easier, and then it becomes allowed by the consciousness. So the consciousness is kind of like having a breakup with its old patterns. Now, psychologically, we seek that which is familiar. This is why an abused woman goes back to the abusing husband. Because we seek that which is familiar, because it reminds us of God. Now, what I want you to understand is that which is familiar, and that's a feeling, okay? That feeling of that which is familiar is the same feeling we have when we're near God, or when we're connected with God. It is the feeling of comfort that is bred on the familiar. That is the signature of God. It's not the feeling of God loving us, but it is the signature, which is why we keep gravitating towards that which is familiar. Our prime directive was to go out into consciousness, or to go out into the reality, however you want to call it, meaning God, and separate from that which was inseparable. Separating from that which is inseparable means, let's make this table the experience of being at one with God. And that's everything there is. There is nothing else, because if you're with God, you have everything. So how are you to make something bigger than that? And the answer is, you separate from that temporarily, separate from that which is inseparable, and you step out here onto the white carpet, or maybe even into the brown, and you start to experience in a way that is not connected with God. Now, initially, we all were, I'll say, catapulted out here to the brown. And what we're doing is, we're now moving under the white. Now, the white is already connected to God. So when we're in the white, we feel like we're connected to God. But then we have to live out here in this brown stuff, and it's confusing, because you're feeling both things, and your linear mind won't process it because it doesn't know how. Now, this is where I would highly recommend you work with a couple of things. There are tools out there. This is something I would like to do for myself, but there's already a lot of material out there that you can easily acquire without waiting for me to get to this. And that is using the left and right brain and creating that third link. You know, people talk about a marriage, your energy, his energy, and then the joint energy, and that those are three things. So when you get married, you're not living with one other person, you're living with two other energies, yours, his, and ours. And if you recognize that, it makes it a whole lot easier. So going back to this, left brain, right brain, and then the sync up, okay? Now, one very powerful, very inexpensive way to sync your left and right brain is through the pictures.
Magic Eye.
Called Magic Eye, exactly. There's thousands of books out there that can be bought in used bookstores and new, your library, whatever. You can find them. I highly recommend you get at least one and you practice with it. You practice with Magic Eye for 3 to 6 months, you have built probably, 300,000, some large number of new bridges in the brain between the left and the right hemisphere, because it forces you to sync them up in a way that causes something new to happen that hadn't been there before. Unlike Manhattan's bridges, they don't require repair. So they are user-friendly, and the more you use them, the better they get. There's a story about the George Washington Bridge. It has two tiers, that it's got the capacity for 4 more tiers. And the more tiers that are on it, the stronger it will become. And the same is true for us. The more tiers you have of connection between left brain and right brain, the stronger your ability to take it all in becomes. It's also a great tool for the kids. So, play with the kids. I had these great big posters in the house. Two of my two older sons, one could easily see it without anything, and the other one was like, couldn't see it for anything. And so the younger one sat with the older one until he finally got it. And I looked at that and I thought, that was such an amazing thing, the deep love and camaraderie between these two, and how one was so linear and structured in his thinking, and that one had been a judge in a previous life and had been very linear in his thinking, whereas the other one had been more of a mystic. And so his ability to allow things that did defy explanation to appear. Need another pen?
I have one book.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you want to write some of this stuff down in your book.
Is it one of mine?
Yes, it is.
So it's the thinning of the veils that we're experiencing.
Yes, it is the thinning of the veils, but I want you to understand that it isn't the veils that are thinning out there. It is the veil in here that you created as part of the mass consciousness. Now, here's this whole thread that it's like, huh? Kind of that kind of comprehension. We collectively created the veil or the wall to create this brown wood experience. So we purposefully created the barrier so we could have this experience of the reality that we currently have. individually, you are lifting it. Okay? Again, when enough people have thinned the veil or lifted it, then everybody has full capacity. It's going to be like the domino effect. It'll just happen so swiftly that it'll feel like everybody turned in an instant. And you've all had this experience already where, I'll give you an example. Someone you know used to mock something you did. Maybe they mocked your interest in astrology, or they mocked your interest in some version of spirituality that you're pursuing. And then one day, out of the blue, they call you and they start asking questions. Like, we've talked about this hundreds of times. And it's almost like calling about a recipe and saying, now, I've got the recipe in front of me, but I'm not understanding this and this. You know, how did you do this piece? So you tell them, and then you get off the phone and you think to yourself, they never even liked this stuff before.
Okay.
That's an example where someone has, by association, lifted the veil spontaneously without realizing it. They don't know they shifted. You can notice because you're sitting here and you can take it all in. But from there to there, they don't notice. So now the important thing to understand is, although, quote, the veils are lifting, the reason we use the word veils, I believe, isn't because there's more than one. It's because your veil are lifting. So the veils are lifting. You see, it's a plural because all of our, quote, veils are lifting. But in truth, we're actually remembering who we really are. Now, right now on the planet, there are a few practices that give you a head start on this veil lifting business. One of them is the Merkaba, and it is one of the few, I will add. So the biggest reason to be doing the Merkaba is that your fifth dimensional self then becomes readily available to you. So then the higher self practice, the higher self connection, becomes second nature. Now, it's important that we understand that our perceptions then are going to be completely opened up. So our capacity to comprehend or mentalize in linear thinking is limited, because linear is limited in scope. You see? Now, it's a little easier for women, because women are more used to multitasking than men. Women are more tuned to multitasking. You know, they've got the child care, the doggy care, the job, the social engagements, you know, and the self-care. They got it all going on at once. And, you know, they can figure out how to draw the bath, have a conversation with the girlfriend, get in the bath, have the relaxation time, get out of the bath, spend time with the partner, and they manage just to kind of keep it all going at the same time. Or a man, I'm reading this book. Okay, now what did you want to talk about? Okay, that's because they're very linear, and that's their nature. Okay, now there's this whole other class. That's what I should teach next, is Jeannie the Bible. This whole other class that I was teaching long before I ever taught the Merkaba, that is off the charts amazing. And it teaches you why things are the way they are and why people act the way they do. Now, as we become, you know, like you see I'll call it the polar bear in the road, and you're driving down the road and you know it's not there. So then you mentally say, okay, I've got the message. So you receive the message, then the polar bear disappears. It is our resistance to it that causes the problem. So then what does the polar bear have to say to me? Why is the polar bear there? What is his message to me? And the answer might be, well, polar bears, what do polar bears do? They eat a lot of food in the summer, and then they go hide out in the winter. Do I need a hibernation? Do I need to be, you know, on hibernate? Do I need to be stocking up on my food supply? So there's lots of ways you could interpret it. Once you accept, okay, there's a message here, tonight when I do my meditation, I'll ask what else it could mean. and you accept it, and you make the mental note, this is something I need to deal with, not why is it here, what the F, blah, 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 you know, all those things, the machinations of the mind, all of that is purposeless. So a lot of times when people start going into chatter about what has happened, they're staying in their 3D self. If they can move to wonder, it transforms it. And wonder is the name of the game in 5D. Wonder is the name of the game. That means that the polar bear in the road, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what this is about. Boom. Polar bear's gone. You made clear intention that you're wondering what it's about. You might get the message right that instant if you're really open and you're in a place where that's easy to do. Or if you are the driver and not the passenger, then you might immediately focus back on the road, pay attention to the road.
So then your bizarre becomes the familiar.
Exactly. Very well said. When the bizarre becomes the familiar, you know you're multitasking, and you're tasking in 3D, and you're tasking in 5D at the same time. That's very well said. That may be a chapter title. Because that's exactly what happens.
Maureen, what's your opinion on some of the music that they have for heavy sinking or for right brain?
Oh, yes. And that was the second one.
Heavy sink is the same. Polar sink is the same.
Robert Monroe, founder of the Monroe Institute, he is now passed, a sound engineer and a radio guy to begin with, a radio announcer, had immense interest in the effect of sound on the brain. And so he developed this whole institute, which ultimately set up training programs for people. And in addition, they've released what they call HemiSync, which is a series of different kinds of music that are all left brain, right brain based, and they work the same way that the magic eye works. So let's say a person only has one eye, then they can't do the syncing up with the eye practice, but they could use the ears. If you are hard of hearing and you can't do hemi-sync successfully, then you do the eye thing. You see, there are ways to do this. You probably could use your hands in some other modality that I don't know about.
The tapping, cortices.
Could you use both hands tapping?
Yes.
Okay. I thought when you tapped, you always tapped with...
That's EFT.
Oh, this is something different?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But it uses the tapping of EFT. But the whole thing is to bring the brain.
Ah. What is it called?
The body talk.
Oh, it's body talk.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was called.
You still got one little thing?
All right, well, we'll look into that, but there you have it. Okay, now, she asked the question, what do I think of the music? They have enlisted many different composers to write music, and then the Monroe Institute itself adds that quality that causes the binaural beat, which is what they call it, that syncs up and creates that third sound. So you can get classical music, you can get waltzes, you can get any kind of music you like. So it depends. Now, we're not talking about Marcy and Marcy's music, which I'd like to talk about if anybody knows about that music. We should talk about this briefly. Somebody remembered to ask me about this.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, let me finish this one first. The music that they have, and you can go online and listen to the different pieces. One year I was selling their product line, and I had bought everything they had. I was selling in my workshops, and I bought an extra supply because I wanted to give a CD to each of my kids and their girlfriends. So I needed 8 CDs. And then I asked my higher self, who got what? Which was hilarious because everybody loved what they got. And the girlfriend of my youngest listened to her CD and, when you have four sons and their mom is like me, you can imagine how they might make fun of me. You know, I'd be playing, you know, on the household stereo system, Om Namah Shivaya, you know, some fabulous chant, and they change the words to something really hilarious, and you just couldn't help but laugh, you know. I never got mad about that stuff. I always thought it was funny because they were still chanting with me. You know, I took the proactive approach, but so they would, you know, they would, yeah, right, Mom, and, you know, they weren't so impressed with my present, if you know what I mean, or they'd make fun of it. But the girl, one of the girlfriend of the youngest listened to it, loved it, and said in an email to my son, have you listened to your CD, blah, 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 blah. And when you try it, it's amazing. So he had that now from her, not from me. And he had a term paper that was due, and, you know, like all high school students, they wait till about 1 or 2 a.m. the day it's due to write it. At least that's what my kids do sometimes. I'm sure maybe they were the exception. But anyway, he pulled out the CD, and his version was the classical. So he was listening to Mozart or Bach, and his opening line is, you know, writing a term paper on this subject is really quite simple. All it takes is a little Mozart and a deadline. Mm. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I'm looking at this going, wow, I can't wait till the rest of this article. Okay, so it's very, very powerful. So I recommend you pick out what you want. There will be musical choices that you don't care for, then don't get them. There will also be what I would call disharmonious rhythms, because there are people that the only way they're going to get this stuff is to listen to something that is disruptive, because that's what they're used to. So you get people by what is familiar, get them in, and then they'll shift. And what were you going to say about it? What was your experience?
I liked it. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the Suffragio frequency of love and bliss that, you know, you can download off the internet, and I find I respond better to listening than I do to the visual, mm-hmm, with that particular element. Mm-hmm. Normally I'm a visual person, but music, the binaural music, I prefer.
Right.
I just think it puts you into an open space of peace and awareness, so that you can, whatever's happening around you, you're already in your space,
right,
with it.
So what this does, now here's the metaphor, and I haven't forgotten your question, by the way. I hope
it's
you
okay. It's not important.
It is important. It's always important.
Okay.
What Sam has said is so important that I want to add a metaphor to it. A long time ago, I saw a Disney movie where the father bought a ski lodge, or inherited a ski lodge, and they were now going to go make their fortune in the ski lodge. And it turned out that the place was a dump and run down, and they had all these repairs to do, you know, and it was like a big monstrosity. And at one point, you know, so the whole comedy is about, you know, all of their experiences like this. And at one point, the little boy is aware of this problem, another problem his father has to solve. And he's going, Dad, Dad. And the father's saying, honey, not now. I'm really busy. I got to figure this out. And he goes, but Dad, Dad. No, honey, you just have to wait. I've got to figure this out. I've got to figure out this problem on how to fix blah, blah, blah. And the little boy says, but Dad. You know, they go back and forth. So the third time, the little boy just blurts it out. And the father looks at me and says, that's it. That's the solution. Why didn't you tell me sooner? So that's the left brain, right brain stuff. Your left brain is the little boy trying to get through to tell you something important. And the right brain is control, making safe, familiar, linear thinking. And so the creative information is there, but you won't listen to it because you think that's just a little kid and doesn't know any better. So the benefit of the bridges is that communication starts on a regular basis. You know, at a very early age, my youngest had a great eye for color. So when I wanted to go shopping, I can remember one time I said, I'm looking for a scarf. I needed to have this color and this color because it's got to go with this suit, and I'm going to wear this blouse. And he disappears. He comes back. Is this what you're looking for? You know? So pretty soon I'm taking him shopping. It's not a no-brainer, right? So this is what happens, is you begin to trust your higher, your left brain information. Everybody is already collecting non-linear information all the time. Now, get this. This is really big. You know how scientists are telling us we're only using 2 or 3% of our brain? It's a lie. We are using the whole brain. It's that we don't have any way to track it or measure it, so it comes up empty. First of all, we're projecting the reality, and secondly, our nonlinear data is being collected big time, and it's sitting over here creating what I will call a big database. But nobody's using it. It's like a beautiful library that nobody's using. But once you start building those synapses, then that library is going to start coming across the bridge explaining what's really going on. Now, in your case, the library is open and you're in the library while you're trying to do this other linear stuff, and so it's confusing. But once you have this visual, oh, I'm just collecting this data and it's available to me because I've been doing all this work for so long that it's just coming right through, and then you can start to say, okay, I want my creative and my linear thinking to blend, and I'm choosing for this to make more sense. So I'm empowering my creative side to start talking to, you know, they're talking two different languages. So in fairness, we have to speak in linear terms. We don't say all the words at once because who could understand it, right? You can't say five words at the same time. So we allow the translation to occur. Other times we go live over there in the nonlinear side. Now the benefit is that this, you know, the pit in the stomach is a projection from the nonlinear information giving you a message. Now the message is clear. A pit in the stomach, you can definitely feel, you definitely know that you did eat something that was causing it and it was some bad news or whatever. So you're able to identify it. So your body is giving you sensation. It is giving you communication. But what we're doing is taking that kind of communication and amping it up a couple of layers. Okay? That was the end of that. So, and that comment. And now your comment or question.
No, I was just questioning. My background is corporate America, and we used to do continually this left brain, right brain questionnaire kind of thing. And every time I did it, every time I took it, I was right in the middle. Is that the same kind of thing you're talking about?
Exactly. So it means is that your left brain and right brain are already balanced, and they're already talking
funny.
To each other.
Yeah, it was funny.
And the reason corporate America was doing it is because they wanted to be able to say to you, you're more creative or you're more linear, so when you're talking with the creative types, you have to be aware of your language.
It was communication stuff.
It was about communication. And so we're all going where you came up. Where you came up on the scale or on the scorecard, that's where we're all going. So that's very cool. And it also means that you could shift. If a linear person is trying to explain something, you totally get it. If a creative type is talking about something, you totally get it. And it also means you would be a good translator for both, which you probably already just knew.
And I do talk a lot. Yeah. To a lot of different kind of people. And that's okay.
That's okay. It's awesome.
So when we're meditating or in prayer, are we living in the library?
Very often. It depends. We could also be in higher dimensions. Mm-hmm. And remember, each of us have our own library. And I might have the same books you have. Mm-hmm. See where we're going with all this? Shared data sets or shared belief systems. Both are part of the same library.
I would like to say one more thing. It's just making sense to me. Sometimes I don't know where I land. Because I can see so many different sides. And it bothers me sometimes. I've never thought of it that way before. But I can see a bunch of different sides of things, and I don't always know where I land. Is that why? Maybe.
because you don't have a need to decide.
You're probably right.
If you had a need to decide, at some point you'd force yourself. Very recently, I straddled the fence, so to speak, on an issue, and it finally came to a head, and I had to verbalize it. And as I'm verbalizing it, I finally decided, blah, blah, blah. And then the next words that came out, I always knew where I stood, how I believed, but I never wanted to accept that I would have to make this choice. So in the case of, you know, there's like opposing views, different ways to go, and they all have merit, and you're looking at all of them saying they all have merit, and they all have the same merit, they're all the same weight, then there is no clear choice that can be made that represents a dividing line. The only clear choice is a choice of a path somewhere in the middle. This is also why in marriage counseling, they say there is no real benefit to, quote, compromise. There is far more benefit to honoring the other and openly honoring it, because in a compromise, both shift and move to a middle place, but unless both are completely willing to be in the middle in the first place, neither of them are going to get what they want. Whereas if you choose, okay, you decide, you know, for the next 6 months what movies we're going to see, and then the next 6 months I'll decide, and you deliberately shift power, it's actually more satisfactory because the person who is abdicating does so with a glad heart. And the person who is leading gets to lead. And so what I want you to see collectively is that this left brain, right brain is a little bit like that. It's actually more pleasing initially to abdicate on one side and go meditate, you know, be in that zone, than it is to try and mix the two, you see. It's more challenging to do that. Ultimately, we're going to be able to do all three. Be fully connected with our inner self, let's say in a meditation, or be fully connected with the 3D reality over here, or to be in the middle and become aware of all of it at the same time. And the benefit, it's like that TV called Picture in Picture, the TV kind of, that certain kind of TV where you have multiple screens. You can choose to only watch one movie if you want. Or you can choose to have four pieces up above and watch one movie, and then as soon as that movie gets commercial, you flip to something else, but you're watching to see when the commercial's over and you're going to shift back. That you have that choice too. Okay. I now want to do a discussion about entities, and then we're going to do clearing work. Do you need a health break, as they call it?
I do.
Let's see. Uh-huh.